Yes, right? Okay. Well, yeah. Before I share my screen, I would like to thank you all very much for these minutes to share with you. My name is Jairo Villegas. I'm from Colombia, but I've been living in the south of Spain, in Andalusia, since 6 years ago. And that's where I started getting into the world of biological foods, and started my work here in Andalusia. I'm in Andalusia right now, but I also started. I decided to start with natural hair with biological foods also in Colombia 2 years ago, and in this process. I understood it's very, very important to create a Latin American group that makes part of the IOP. So this is basically a story that I'm going to tell you right now. Okay? So I want to share my screen. Should be able to share it now. Okay. It should be full screen. I appreciate it if you let me know it's full screen right now. And just as a matter of telling how this is going to work, I'm going to speak only for like 20-30 minutes. And next, I'm going to introduce you to a colleague from Chile called Francisco Torres Ton from BioAnt, an enterprise from Chile. And he's going to show us some of his projects, of their projects, which we all believe is probably the most interesting and work we have in South America, in Latin America now, not only because of the amount of work BioAnt has developed, but also because of the quality. So, so this is the basic story I wanted to tell you. The challenge of implementing biological foods in Latin America, and this is going to be a little bit like a story, and it's going to have like a chronological order. What I mean is that you're going to see like the basic challenge. I believe, and I know I share this opinion with my colleagues from Latin America. The basic challenge is to create a market, and it sounds a bit strange, but it's a market that doesn't exist. We have realized that not many people know about a biological food or natural food, and this is something we have to change. So in this creation of a market, I have understood that we have three main objectives, which is, first of all, we have to educate the demand. We have to understand this is not a market, just like, like cold drinks market where you just your product is just a Coca-Cola and you just drink it. No, we need to educate the demand in the sense that we have to explain to people what a biological food is. Another very important thing that I realized in my experience is that we have to stimulate the suppliers. There are suppliers, but they don't supply what we need. I'll go into that later. And very, very, very important, just as we educate the demand, and we tell them what a natural pool or a biological pool is, we have to establish which are those best practices. Because as, for example, the Iberian group has taken the IOP's guidelines and have settled and have adapted them to these guidelines. We have adapted them in the Mediterranean, or the group has adapted them. We have huge challenge before us, in front of us, taking those guidelines and that knowledge that already exists in Europe, taking that knowledge to Latin America and adapting it to a absolutely diverse territory. I think I'm not wrong when I say we have all the climates in the world, and it's very interesting that, for example, in some places like in Colombia or any part of the territory that is between the tropics, we don't have seasons. We don't have winter, we don't have summer. We have the place I come from, Bogota. It's 2,600 meters up in the Andes, in the mountains. And Bogota has this same weather all year long. Well, not Bogota, all Colombia, all Venezuela, etc. The north of Peru, Ecuador, we have the same weather all year long. What changes is rainfall. But except from that, we have every single day, we know that we will be with a minus a temperature between 18, 14 degrees up to 25, 28 degrees in Bogota. Or if you're in a place where it's really hot because you're down near the sea, you're going to have all of the days of your life, you're going to have a minimum temperature of 32 and a maximum of 40 something. That's very interesting. Plus, thanks to all the changes in the mountains and everything, I think we have all the climates in the world. So adapting the guidelines into our territories is going to be a huge, huge challenge. In this process of educating the demand, we have already made three workshops in Colombia and in places near to Bogota, the capital city. And in this process, some of the most important topics to transmit, to teach, to share with the people who came to the workshop is, first of all, what is and what is not a biological food. Because it's very interesting how it's the knowledge of what a biological food is in our territories is very scarce. It's difficult to find someone that really knows what it is. So obviously they don't know of the existence of the IOB and the regional associations. And since they don't know what it is, they don't know what to expect from a biological food. So here comes the usual questions: is am I going to be swimming in the middle of land? Will there be toads and other animals in the water, etc. So just explain what the biological food is a great challenge. And so the structure, let's say that the messages that we try to transmit, apart from the technical characteristics of a biological pool, we have a big work of a big set of messages we like to share with the people that come to our workshops. First of all, we try to make people know about the IOB and the great amount of work that the IOB has developed and the great amount of knowledge and research it has been developing. The other very important part is that we try to make people understand the complexity of the knowledge that is behind this job. And this has to do with the next message, is that we do a very intense hunt for false workshops and training. It might seem amazing to you, but there are people who do workshops of 1 hour, starting in 1 hour, and going up to 2 days, 3 days, teaching people how to do natural or biological. So when we try to share the complexity of the knowledge for this job, we try to explain to them the biological aspects of a biological pool, the construction challenges, the technological alternatives, aesthetics, and we try to explain all these variables that we have in mind when we design and build a biological pool. They don't expect it, and what we have found is that after a three-day workshop of introduction, only introduction to biological pool, by the end of the second day, people are very, they're depressed, because what they understand from the 2 days before is, after receiving all this information, is that doing a biological pool is impossible. It's really complex. Really complicated in terms of understanding the biology, choosing the plants, and doing the construction. They get a little bit depressed. So in the third day, what we do is that we show them that they have understood a lot only by understanding that it's very complex, and that it is very complicated. And we do design exercises when we tell them, try to understand that you don't need to be able to design or to build a natural pool after this workshop. What is important for you to understand is that that it's very complex, that not anyone can do it, and that you have to understand what your expectations can be regarding a biological pool. So they understand that they have understood the complexity, how complex biological pools are. They understand that you cannot go to a workshop of 3 days and go out and start building a natural pool. And they know how to be very picky and fine. What we call the false prophets. Here comes another subject, another point, which is always, when you want to do a natural pool, contact your local professional and fear the false prophets. We call the false prophets the people who pop up from anywhere and say they do natural pools, or they post videos online, or they just make very bad manuals and whatever. I have to emphasize here that the amount of knowledge available in Spanish about biological pools is very scarce and very bad. So if you guys already in German-speaking countries or English-speaking countries find that it's difficult to find good information about how to do biological pools, just imagine how the thing is in Spanish. It's really bad. So that's why we don't feel ashamed of saying that there are a lot of really bad, like false prophets, like people doing like really bad information, things that are really bad regarding the training for natural pools or biological pools. And there's something very important that we have identified, is that one bad pool has the worst effect that 100 of them well done. We have found in Colombia, at least, that there was like a wave of people trying to self-construct biological pools in the last, I would say, 5 to 7 years, because of the big explosion of biobuilding and self-construction and sustainable building, and etc. And there have been a lot of I would say like maybe 10-15 experiences in Colombia of building natural pools or biological pools, and I think I would say 99% of them have been a disaster. So now we have to fight the myth that biological pools don't work. So that's another message we try to share, which is the risk of self-construction or working with a false project is that one bad pool is worse than 100 well done. So we always tell people, please take into account that if you're doing a bad experience, you're doing it yourself, and if you have a bad experience, it's not only yourself who is going to be to have this bad experience in your mind. It's going to be a lot of people, all the people around you, who are going to say, they don't work, they don't work, they don't work. And finally, the other big message is that this is a technology process for Latin America. There's a lot of things to be researched, to be understood, to be to be researched and understood in Latin America. As I said before, we have a huge diversity of climates, a huge diversity of ecosystems, and we need to do all this research before we can say that we have developed the Latin American pool. And then, what is the Latin American biological pool? Is it the one near the Amazon, and where you have a really heavy rainfall, a lot of humidity, high temperature? Or is the Latin American pool the one that, like the ones that we have been doing in Colombia, that are between the 1,600 and 1,300 meters, where the average temperature is around 22 degrees, where we don't have that much rainfall, but we have a small quantity of rainfall that's very constant, and the intensity of the sun is not that high. Is this the Latin American pool, or is the pool, or are they the pools that Francisco is building in Chile, or are they the pools that Luis is doing in Brazil? So, taking into account that how huge this territory is and all these complexities, is where before I go to that, I just wanted to show you that in this process of teaching, like trying to share with people the complexities of biological foods, we found out that it was hard for people to understand how microorganisms and plants could be so good to us. I mean, they understood it, but when you talk to them about zooplankton or phytoplankton, it's hard for them to imagine until they see them like in microscopes and they see the pictures that we show them and whatever. So, just to make a little advertisement, these are some images that we developed, for example, of zooplankton from the Amazon in Colombia, aquatic plants also from Colombia, or phytoplankton from the Colombian Caribbean coasts, in the wetlands of the North Caribbean coasts. And we developed t-shirts, and we sold them in our workshops, and it was very nice how people with these kind of things, like making the knowledge, something like merchandise and something you could wear or play with or whatever, help a lot people to understand the message we were trying to share. These t-shirts, we're selling them now in Europe, just printed them here in Spain. So if anyone is interested, we can talk to me later. So what the other part that we found when we were trying to, that I found that when I was trying to build this is my first biological pools in Colombia, is also that the suppliers, they could have what we need, but they don't have it now. So it's I have found that it's very important to stimulate the suppliers in four basic aspects. One of them is the lack of waterproofing membranes. Now I know that for most of our colleagues in Latin America, not only in Colombia, they're basically we can use EPDM. There's PVC and HDPE, polyethylene, high density polyethylene available. But for example, they don't have a drinking water certification that they can be used with water or with wildlife. So not having the certification is already an obstacle, right? And we have very bad geotextiles. For example, it's hard to find anything over 100 grams by square meter. It's hard. It's almost, in Colombia, it's almost impossible to find 300 to 350 grams per square meter. And in terms of pumps, most of the pumps that we're going to find, they have very high energy consumption, and they have very high pressure, and it's very hard to find the low, like 12 volts or 24 volts alternatives if we want to use submerged pumps. Although we have amazing aquatic plants, and we have very interesting research on the aquatic plants in different parts of Latin America, and you cannot buy them. You have to go and get them, and it's not easy. It's not always easy to go and get the plants in the nature, to pick them up in nature. It's not always that easy, and it's almost impossible to buy them. The owners of greenhouses, the people who sell plants, they have very, very bad. They almost have no aquatic plants at all, or what they have available is really bad. And most of them have invasive plants, and even though they're not foreign, they're native plants, most of them have a very invasive behavior. So it's very, very complicated to find aquatic plants that are supplied of aquatic plants. So, after realizing this problem I have told you before, after realizing that people don't really know what natural pools or biological pools are, and that the suppliers, they don't have the pumps we need, they don't have the waterproofing membranes, etc., that's when we understood that, and also by making part of the Iberian group, that's where I understood that the only option a very important option that I had in front of me was creating the Latin American group. As I said before, the Latin American territory is huge and very diverse. So when I started talking to our colleagues, we understood that let's say that this Latin American group is meant to disappear, let's say, in the sense that it should slowly become the Patagonian group, let's say, or the North Andes group, or the Caribbean group, or the Guyanese group. I don't know. We will have to reconfigure ourselves into a more local into small, more local groups. But right now, I have to say that we have been able to get in contact with some 10 people, some people from Mexico, who we have lost a little bit of contact with them, from Colombia, mostly people from Chile, a lot of people from Chile, some people from Argentina, and Luis in Brazil. We're not covering the whole territory, but it's a start. We have slowly begun to try to organize ourselves to get make part of the IOB. And this is the third strategy that I was telling you about. It's establishing a best practice, the best practices, for making a biological pools in Latin America. We think to establish the best practice, the best way is to make part of the IOB. That way we can channel all the information and knowledge made by the IOB and the research, etc., and try to take this information and adapt it to Latin America. Because it's very important that we promote an interaction with the academy there in Latin, with universities and whatever there in Latin America, and try to generate enough research to take all the knowledge and settle it and adapt it to the territories. And this information and these guidelines, let's say, we have to share them with the suppliers, so the suppliers know what we are expecting from them, what we need from them. Okay. I'm gonna stop there. It's 3:32, and I'm going to open the mic for Francisco. Before I do it, Francisco, I don't know if maybe anyone has a quick question before we change to Francisco, who's going to show us an example of what what he is doing in Chile. Does anybody have a question, or we should continue to Francisco?
I only want to comment that it's good that even in this small group of 15 people from 10 different countries, which is very good, and I think 1, 2, 3, 4 South American countries, even in this small group, we have one who is involved with suppliers, who is on the side of the suppliers. And I think Max will have listened a lot, and I hope you can take some initiatives, Max, that there's something more available in South America, and you may talk to other suppliers as well, that there's an upcoming market. This is only a commentary, but why not point on Max that he is now the one who has to improve your situation in South America?
Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Or should we just...
No, I would only like to say thank you so much, Jairo, because you did really a big job. Great. Such a nice reflection work, because maybe nobody of us would be able to make the same kind of reflection, but as you were looking to a new territory, let me say, how to go ahead working in South America, you did a wonderful reflection. What are the problems? What is the point of the situation? And I think you got it. I will not say that it's very easy for you, but I think it was very complete. So really, thank you.
Thank you, Kelly.
Yeah, I would like to join with my compliments for your work. I think it's a very positive example how it should work, and I hope others in other areas in the world will follow this example. Very well done. And a lot of success, I wish you.
Thanks. Thanks, Emma.
Yes, also congratulations from my side, Stefan here. And I'm very interested in getting your wonderful T-shirts. You wanted to explain maybe how we can get it. I fear it's also that your idea of introducing the new product to the big market is really brilliant. And the strategy in behind is, for my opinion, also very complex, but very straight as you did it. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
And what was your T-shirt now?
I just write my I'll put just my email there in the chat. And,
yeah. Okay.
Okay. Oh, and Will says that it reminds him a lot of what they had to do 25 years ago when they started in Portugal. And because it's another very important thing that probably Francisco and Luis are going to talk about. I didn't want to get there, but it's a very important part is the in terms of law and of trying to do to get the normatives and the legislation in our countries that we don't have. That it's non-existent. It's not existent. For example, in Colombia, just so you can in Spanish we say flipar, like flipping colors. I mean, it's amazing. And in Colombia, textually says the law says that anything that is similar to a pool upon a water reservoir, anything that is built with the objective to hold water and use it as a swimming place, it has to have a between 1 and 3 milligrams of chloride per liter. It has to have chloride. There's no option. But on the other hand, let's say that the good part also is that law is more relaxed in Latin America than here in Europe, for example. And we have found a very, very good disposition from local governments in little towns, in the places where we have built, where they say, I think this is great. I cannot let you do it officially, but go ahead and do it. If you need anything, let us know. And they actually understand, the local governments, they understand that this is the best option that we have in terms of making a sustainable use of bathing water. Okay, I'll just leave it like that. And Francisco, ¿estás ahí?
Aquí estoy, querido Jairo.
Ahí estás, Pancho. Pues, ¿tú puedes compartir pantalla? Yeah, I see now your screen, and now you can make it full screen.
Yeah, we can see.
And I forgot to introduce you better, but just introduce yourself, Francisco.
Okay, hello everyone. It's nice to be here. I will say thanks to Jairo for this invitation. Jairo's invitation was to show our work in Chile. We have been working in natural pools for 11 years so far. Even when I lived in the United States in 2005, I haven't practiced my English at all during 15 years. So maybe I will ask Jairo to assist me in this. So
no problem. I'm
sometimes,
here.
Sometimes I will feel more comfortable giving this talk in my native language. So let's see how it go. Okay.
There it is. Just a bunch.
Okay. I didn't have enough time to change the language, so everything is in Spanish, but. More than nothing, we have pictures now to show my work. And I am an engineer. I have my own learning curve. I didn't have any teaching from anyone, so I have been practicing for my own with good results. Okay. A veces me se avanza la diapositiva en la pantalla, Jair. Ahí sí.
Sí, ya avanzo.
Well, I will follow in my native language, okay? So I feel more comfortable. So give me a hand, Jairo.
Dale, perfecto.
Nosotros como empresa estamos dedicados a trabajar con tratamiento biológico, no solamente en tierras naturales.
In Bioanto, they are focused on working with biological depuration of water, biological treatment, not only in natural pools. They have other lines of work.
Hemos trabajado con humedales depuradores por 11 años, proyectos grandes de tratamiento de aguas hervidas hasta 150 casas conectadas.
They work with treatment wetlands. They have worked with projects up to 150 houses connected to them. That's one line of work.
En más, estamos trabajando con el gobierno chileno y nuestra empresa BioAntu está haciendo el manual nacional para tratar aguas servidas con depuración biológica en Chile.
BioAntu is now working with the Chilean government. And they are developing the manual for treatment wetlands para vivienda solamente, Pancho?
En general, industrial inmobiliario.
In general, the treatment wetlands, in general for industry, housing and other kinds of residual water.
Thanks. So we are working with extracted wetlands, natural pools, eco lagoons, and special projects like drinking water, alcantarillado, and dry toilets, and so on. I will show you some pictures. First of all, I will make a mixture, Jairo, okay?
Okay, no problem.
There is a thing here. Chile is the world's longest country from north to south in the world. So what that means? Vemos lo siguiente. Chile presenta latitudes desde 17 grados sur hasta 56 grados sur, y eso implica mucha variedad climática en un solo país.
Yeah, Chile has almost 40 degrees of latitude and longitude, and which means that the diversities in climates are and ecosystems, I guess, it's huge.
Tenemos 4.200 kilómetros de largo en todo el país y una altura de la máxima cordillera al mar de 6.800 metros de altura.
Yeah. So from north to south, it's 4,200 kilometers. And the highest point, Chile, has 6,791, almost 7,000 meters over the sea level.
And that is a challenge for the temperature oscillation. We have a minimum temperature of minus 14 degrees Celsius and a maximum temperature of 42 degrees Celsius. I will show you now pictures of our works, and maybe les daré algunas recomendaciones o títulos de lo que estamos haciendo en nuestro país.
Okay. Y si recuerdas, si puedes contarnos al final las problemáticas más comunes que hacen encontrado en tu trabajo.
Perfecto. Ahora voy a empezar a mostrar fotografías, Jairo, sobre todo el antes y el después, en nuestro recorrido desde muy inicial, hace 11 años, hasta ya lo que hemos logrado el día de hoy.
So he's going to be showing us their projects from the first day when it was finished until now, and that it's going to be a chronological trip.
En Chile, el gran problema que tenemos no solo en variabilidad climática, sino que también sísmica.
They have a very, very changing climate all over Chile, but as you might know, it's very, very important to take into account the seismic activity in Chile, which is very, very strong.
Por lo tanto, el construir piscinas requiere de mucho nivel de estructuración. Damos mucha importancia a lo estructural, sobre todo en lo que es muros divisorios.
So, it has its structure has is someone that has to be taken very much into account, especially the dividing walls, because of the seismic conditions of Chile.
En Chile no existe un manual completo, profundo y serio de plantas acuáticas nativas.
In Chile, they don't have a very a good quality in depth, in quantity, and a good guide in aquatic plants of Chile.
Sí, hay manuales de plantas exóticas, pero no es nuestro gran interés.
They do have manuals of exotic plants, but these are not our interest now.
nosotros como empresa estamos trabajando solo con membranas, no trabajamos con piscinas de hormigón.
They only use membranes or waterproofing. They don't use, they don't make concrete structures.
Los muros divisorios muchas veces los usamos con una técnica que se llama tierra ensacada, como pueden ver en la foto de la esquina inferior.
The dividing walls, they usually make them with a, this system is called in English, I don't remember the name.
It's super adobe.
Maybe super adobe, or it's a soil put into bags and compressed. Son compactados, ¿verdad, Pancho?
Sí, sí.
They're put into bags, the soil, and it's compacted, and it tienes mezcla, es solo tierra.
A veces 5% of cemento.
Okay, maybe. Sometimes 5% of cement.
En Chile es una economía muy abierta, por lo tanto tenemos mucho ingreso de diferentes tipos de membranas, diferentes tipos de geotextiles.
Yeah, Chile has an open market. They're very open to it's very easy to import and export to Chile. It's not expensive, so they have a lot of different provider. They have available a lot of different kinds of membranes in Chile.
See, you guys, you can find here EPDM liner, PVC liner, HDPO. I mean, HDPE, high density polyethylene liner, TPO liner. We have a lot of choices here in our country. El gran problema, que es un poco también lo que tiene Jairo, es que hay muy pocos viveros de plantas acuáticas.
Yeah, they also have the same problem we do, is that there's too few providers of aquatic plants.
El mercado acá en Chile está más preparado. Actualmente tenemos muchos proyectos. Estamos construyendo entre 3 a 4 piscinas en paralelo at the same time.
Right now they have a big market in Chile, and they're building some 3 to 4 pools at the same time.
En Chile hay un gran problema de escasez hídrica, el desierto avanza demasiado, por tanto el gobierno se está preocupando de generar sistemas eficientes hídricamente.
Chile has a very, very high water stress. They have a lot of problems with water in Chile. So the government is worried about facing this problem.
Y por lo tanto está invirtiendo bastante en depuración biológica y construcción de espacios azules y verdes, o blue spaces.
So they're spending a lot of money in blue and green spaces, spaces related to water and spaces related to vegetation.
Estamos con una muy buena oportunidad en Chile para construir grandes cuerpos de aguas, grandes lagunas, pues estamos necesitando grandes reservorios de agua dulce.
Pero entonces estás, o sea, supongo que lo que quieres decir es que se está contemplando las piscinas naturales o las piscinas biológicas como reservorios, como reservas de agua, ¿no?
Exacto.
Okay. So they are conceiving biological pools as freshwater reserves, places that where fresh water is protected.
Existe una necesidad muy grande de construir grandes reservorios de agua, y nuestra empresa está tratando de que esos reservorios de aguas se conviertan en lagunas o piscinas naturales. Esa es la idea.
There's a big demand for water reservoirs all over Chile and beyond too, is trying to make that these water reservoirs are either biological pools or biological water reserves, let's say.
Para nosotros, como hablando en Chile, hoy en día deben existir unas 5 or 6 empresas ofreciendo piscinas naturales.
In Chile, there are some 5 or 6 companies offering natural pools.
Y la demanda es mucha. Nosotros recibimos diariamente por lo menos 20 a 25 necesidades de cotizaciones por clientes.
And the demand is really high in Chile. They receive some 20 to 25 emails daily asking them for budgets or projects of biological.
Estamos tratando de generar sistematización para transformación de piscinas cloradas a piscinas naturales por la alta demanda en términos de salud también que requiere la población.
They are trying to make it really fast for them to they have like to have a standard procedure to turn a normal existing chloride pools into a biological.
Sí, ahora mismo estoy mostrando un par de fotos de transformaciones.
These last two projects are naturalization projects, changes from chlorine to natural.
Y ahora mismo está temblando muy fuerte en Chile.
Right now, it appears there's a strong earth movement where Francisco is. I think we can see the camera shaking a little.
Bueno, ahí pasó. Ayer también tembló un grado 6 acá.
There was also yesterday there was another strong earthquake.
Aquí quiso mostrar simplemente fotos de transformaciones, el antes y el después. Hay gente que se acerca mucho a nosotros, no solamente por ecología, sino por salud.
There's a lot of these are more examples of transformations of into natural pools, and a lot of people get contact Bioantu, not only because they just want a natural pool, because of health, to improve their quality of life.
Nosotros hemos tomado un acuerdo al interior de la empresa que todo lo que sea sobre 100 metros cuadrados vamos a llamarlo micro laguna hasta macro laguna. Sobre 100 metros cuadrados ya es micro hasta macro lagunas. Perfecto.
And they have taken the decision inside the company that any water project above 100 square meters, they're going to call them from micro pond to macro pond.
Micro and macro.
The macro. Yeah, from micro pond, starting at 100 meters, square meters, up to macro pond.
Entonces, lo que voy a mostrar ahora son micro lagunas hasta macro lagunas.
So what we're going to see now is from micro ponds to macro ponds.
En Chile existe un gran mercado de grandes lagunas que lo creó hace mucho tiempo Crystal Lagoons. No sé si conocen esa empresa.
This market was developed a few years ago, quite a few years ago, by a company called Crystal Lagoons. Maybe somebody heard about
it. Sí, esa empresa hace lagunas muy grandes, las más grandes del mundo, pero tienen productos químicos. Entonces, nuestra propuesta es hacer grandes lagunas, pero con depuración biológica.
This Crystal Lagoons, that company that Francisco is mentioning, they made huge ponds, some of the biggest in the world, but they use chemical products. And so the challenge Bioantu has taken is not to use any chemical product.
Entonces ahora voy a mostrar micro lagunas que hemos estado haciendo principalmente en Santiago. pero tenemos grandes extensiones en país y eso nos ha posibilitado conocer diferentes climas y diferentes especies en todo Chile.
These are micropods. They have been they started doing them. We started the first pictures were in Santiago, but they have been able to visit a lot of places all over Chile.
Y ahora voy a mostrar una macro laguna que es una de mis favoritas. Hemos logrado entrar en el mercado fuertemente y tener la confianza del gobierno y del mercado inmobiliario.
And this is Francisco's favorite macro pond, and they have already gained the confidence of the government and the market related to this kind of project.
Aquí está el proceso. I will show you guys now the first picture on the left hand is the air movement, no? For this lagoon. Then we have the waterproofing, no? With the liner. This project we use PVC liner from Brazil, and then the number three we have the internal hydraulic. We work a lot of on hydraulic projects. I am engineer and I work in the industry for a long time, so I have that knowledge. Then we have the springs structure, the lighting for. Yes, the lighting from dock, and we use some air pump just in case our client asks for this air pump, so we use it, but most of the time are off. It was the first time we use air pump, and they are very, very small for a huge volume of water. And number seven of this process is the substrates for regeneration area, the aquatic plantation, the landscaping, inspection dive. Of course, we dive in this macro lagoons or macro pond. Navigation test. I am the one in the kayak and the lagoon opening. And this project was built 1 year ago, and all the pictures I'm going to show you right now are from 1 month ago. Y este es el proyecto en la actualidad, Jairo. Así está hace un mes atrás.
This is the project after 12 months, let's say. Un año tiene, ¿no?
Un año, sí.
Yeah, after 1 year.
Tenemos nuevos visitantes.
New visitors.
Las plantas están creciendo bastante bien. Tenemos buena transparencia. Esto tiene 3 metros de profundidad.
The water transparency is really good. It has 3 meters depth, and it's absolutely clear as I see. And plants are doing very well.
Y estamos usando esa técnica de tierra ensacada plantada para los bordes. No sé si se logra apreciar en la esquina inferior derecha.
Anda en la esquina inferior in the right bottom corner, they're using the technology of planted soil bags for the border. That según entiendo entonces sobre esos bordes, sobre esos sacos, va creciendo la vegetación, ¿verdad?
Sí, es como una terminación de borde.
Vale, it's a way to give the border, to create the border with these soil bags, but they also get vegetated with time. Nos quedan por ahí unos 5 minutillos o algo así.
Sí, yo estoy terminando ya. Aquí tenemos el resumen de proyectos en Chile, Jairo. Tenemos 58 proyectos ya construidos, 16.000 metros cuadrados construidos en casi todo el país.
So this is the results of projects up to now that they have in Ubuntu. They have completed a total of 58 projects, adding up 16,294 square meters in 27 districts of the country.
¿Cuáles son nuestros goals? Build the first flooded natural swimming pool in Chile. We don't have any flooded natural pool, so I think it will be interesting for us to explore that technology. Build at least 15,000 square meters of blue green spaces per year. These are very ambitious goals. Approve the first public natural pool in Chile. We are working on it. We don't have public natural pool, sadly. And of course, get IEO membership and create the first sea natural pool in Chile using sea vegetation. That is an important project we are focused on. So thanks. A lot for this opportunity, guys.
Thank you very much, Francisco. So, questions? Udo didn't explain the logistics, but I remind you that it's when somebody turns on the Udo. You can handle the questions, I guess. I think it's better.
No, it's okay. I'm not always. I do not always have to do this job, but as Jairo started to explain, who wants to say something, switch on your microphone, and I myself say as well, muchas gracias, Francisco. I want to drive this web meeting a bit now to the main subject. This is the South American group. It was interesting to see an example of a successful working company, but as far as I know, your group is very diverse, like the whole continent is, and maybe it would be good to talk as well about the project of Francisco, but as well on the topic how can you proceed with your South American group, and how can you bring all of them together?
And that's a big challenge.
James, you want to say something?
Yes, I wanted to just compliment Jairo on, first of all, in his presentation. I think he hit all the nails on the head, and I applaud, admire, and respect the way he's approaching things. And Francisco, what you're doing there is very impressive. So that's great to see. I think it's phenomenal array of installations that you've done there. And thank you for sharing.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks a lot.
We are trying to put together the group. We're trying to organize ourselves. We have made some efforts since March, and I think we're on a very good path to make it happen. We have from people like Francisco, who have built thousands of square meters of projects with a lot of experience, up to people who like natural pools a lot, but haven't had the opportunity to build any. And as Udo says, we are facing the challenge of making it happen. I guess all of the people who make part of a local or regional association and were in the foundation, the first part of the process, I'm sure they know it's not easy. I'm sure they know that some people have to take the lead and and just push everybody to make it happen. But one thing that I'm almost certain of, 95% certain of this, is that when we make it happen, we finally register the association in one of our countries, we make part of the IOB, etc., and we are start making this public, we're going to have a lot of people joining us. I'm absolutely sure. And people, great builders that maybe exist and we don't know about yet, and people who don't know anything but just want to make a natural pools part of their lives. I just wanted to round up with that. And maybe, if we can, Luis, I don't know if you want to contribute anything. Luis is from Portugal, but he's had the experience to build biological pools in Brazil. So I don't know, Luis, if you want to share something with us.
Well, Jairo, you said a lot of things that's common to all Latin American countries. The first part of your explanation was about marketing and education, and I think it was very, very well done. That's common in Brazil too. The difficulty we have to introduce the product and make the people understand how complex is to make a swimming pond or a swimming pool. And I think the most difficult in Brazil or in the other countries, maybe less Chile, as Pancho said, he can find a few components like EPDMs and HPA and TPO and everything. But in the rest of the countries, it's not easy to find good pumps and accessories for our technology. So maybe on time, especially with the Latin American Association, we can push the Firestone and SIBO, big companies who work for this challenge, and maybe it will better in the future. So I think the first step is to organize the Latin America Association. We are doing that. Probably yesterday, one of our colleagues from South America, Cassandra, contact another Latin America association for under soil waters. I don't know how to say that. And maybe they can help us to find all work we must do to have the registration of our association. That's it.
I want
okay,
to
thank you very much, Luis. Yes,
I want to go a little bit further because I know. Okay, I have some special information, but okay, I'm the former president of IOB, therefore I have a good relationship to the actual president. I know there are some people which are elite standing on site, like the colleague in Mexico. I think you mentioned this as well. What I want to say is, in the experience of our Iberian group, for five, 6 years, we were only enough to have a board. So all five members were in the board for a lot of years. And nowadays we were growing, and nowadays we are more than 20, which is quite good, and we hope to grow more. But I would say, try to make your association as open as possible, so to say, that it is not so important to have built a lot of projects. It's important that you find people who are burning for the idea. You all maybe know our colleague from France, Dirk Esser. I think he has built now one swimming pond, but on the other hand, he has made a lot of effort and a good work in France to organize the French group. So it's not really so important that you say, he does not know how to build. No, it's more important, yes, you really want, he or she wants it really, and so try to make your organization open for everybody who will sign the goal and aims of the organization. Don't be so restrictive in the beginning.
Yeah, I agree. That's a very good
I agree completely as well. Thank you, Udo, for that. What I want to emphasize as well, we had for years extraordinary members of IOB. For Brazil, Luis. For Argentina, Paula. For Chile, Cristobal. And they all for sure tried to find other companies to work together with, because the idea is to found a national association. But it was obviously very hard for them, and they didn't succeed. Now the new approach from Jairo was to bring all the countries together, and very open-minded. And I think this is the way to do it, because we have to move the market. And as Udo said, we don't need only the ones who have a lot of experience. We need them, and we have to integrate them. But we have to get a wide basis only if we have a lot working together. Then we create synergies to really move something, to move a market and to move legislation. And fantastic that Pancho got to this position already in Chile, which is fantastic. And this will help as well for others in the area to go ahead. I think that's very great. So maybe, Jairo, you can explain a little bit as well from the process, how it started and how it's developing.
Yes, basically, after we got cut, let's say that from Paisa is the name of my project. I'm from Paisa, Colombia, but I share with a colleague of mine that she's handling Paisa, Colombia. We just started searching for people dedicated to do natural pools or biological pools in South America, in Latin America. We got in contact with them, and we made a first meeting, and it was a meeting of about 12 people. And then after a few meetings, it dropped to, let's say, some 8 people. And Francisco actually designed a step-by-step process that we have been carrying out, and not very precisely, but with not all the steps how we have chosen to do it, but with some ups and downs. But we are still trying to make it. And as you say, Udo and Stefan, right now it's like 6 of us. We have at least decided that we're going to keep on going. We have already chosen our president, our secretary, and our tesorero, like the people who handle, the person who handles the money, and
the treasurer.
And it seems like we're going to register the association either in Chile or in Argentina. We have finally chosen a name that maybe Francisco still doesn't know it, but we're proposing the name GLAP Bio. That's Grupo, that's GLAP Bio. I'm going to write it down here in the chat. That's Grupo Latinoamericano de Piscinas Biológicas, Latin American Group of Biological Pools. And right now, we're about to register the group, and we're going to start writing down our statutos, our guidelines, I guess. And we're still pending to make the letter directed to the IUB to ask for the membership. So that's basically the process we are in right now. So I would expect that in 1 month or a little bit more, we should be, like, I hope that next year we'll already make part of the IUB.
Very good. Can you give us names who will be the president and so on?
Yes. The president is Cassandra Quinteros. She's a food engineer. I don't know how you call it in English. And she has worked a lot with water treatment. And she's emphasizing now in... she's making natural foods part of her work and has already had like only the experience for her own natural food, but she's doing really well. The secretary is Paula Tarditi from Argentina, and she works with landscaping and aquatic plants, and she's also been trying to start with building a biological pool, she hasn't been able to start. And Natalia from Colombia, from Paisa, she's going to be the treasurer. And but we're going to be doing this by couples. So that means that the president, Cassandra, has the help of Jimena, another colleague from Chile, who has already had experience building natural food. Paula, she's gonna have the help in the secretary with from Gisela, also from Argentina, and Natalia from Colombia as treasurer. She's going to be having my help. That's the structure up to now.
Okay, thank you. What is very impressing that you have a lot of women in positions. We always have a lack of women in our industry, and this is very good. Fortunately, personally, I know a lot of people you have mentioned, and I'm sure this will be a good work. We should now give the word to Max because he's waiting to say something.
Thanks, Udo, for handing over the word. Well, thanks once again to Jairo and Francisco and also Luis for providing so many informations on the Latin American or South American market. Very, very interesting, very high quality projects I've seen. Since I'm representing manufacturers in this group, of course, my interest would be to learn what are your plans or ideas regarding memberships for manufacturers, because what I learned from you is that you have difficulties for certain products, and of course it then also makes sense to include the manufacturers in or give them a certain role within your association. I think this can be really helpful to have a start for get more products, more information, and start also a process for your demands that you have in your areas. That is the one topic. And the other topic is regarding the name that you want to give the association in future. Let's say it was a long time before I even started thinking about natural swimming pools, but I know from the old colleagues in the German association that they thought quite for a certain amount of time what should be the right name for the association, because the name of the association always, when you get in touch with public authorities or government and so on, the name is always a claim that you start the conversation with. So maybe this is something worth to consider. I'm not familiar with the situation in Southern America, but let's say you want to grow the interest, and for that reason, I just recommend to take care to select the name of the association carefully. Whatever it will be in the end, it will be a great name, I'm very sure, but think about it that this is kind of door opener to everything the association will do in future.
Yeah, Max, thanks very much. Great advice you're giving us. Yes, definitely, we have agreed that we're going to invite not only, for example, as Udo and Stefan said, people who are interested but don't build natural foods. In that sense, we have decided to invite, make part of the group, people in the academy, universities, and the suppliers, people who work in the industries. And for example, in the case of Colombia, I have already talked to my supplier of EPDM, and he's more than happy to make part of the group. He's just waiting for us to make it happen. And most of the people I have been talking to in Colombia, suppliers, they are more than happy to make part of the group and support us and help us. And they understand that it's also good for them, not only because they could be supplying the products, for example, to us in Colombia, but this can open doors for them to supply to Latin America in general. So they're very interested and enthusiastic about it.
So I think the subject is very interesting. Do maybe the colleagues from US have some recommendations or questions to the Latin American group? Because you're neighbors. Because you're, no, not this, but James and colleagues, you are not so long in the industry as some European colleagues are. So maybe you have another perspective of building an organization. Give some tips and hints, James.
I can say that I'm very impressed with what they're doing there. And I don't think that we can give them any tips or hints. We're suffering with some of the same issues that they are there, specifically with respect to market recognition, consumer acceptance, those kinds of things, as well as the false profit. So I was particularly pleased to see Jairo's characterization of the market there. And you'll have to pardon, my puppy dog in the background is not happy. So, also Francisco's array of projects is just really great to see. I mean, that's some fabulous stuff. I don't think we can offer any productive advice other than keep doing what you're doing. I think you're doing a great job. Alan, do you have anything you want to comment on?
Yeah, thanks. And Jairo, Francisco, just excellent work. And you have my heartfelt feelings for the challenges that you're going through. As James said, we're struggling with the same element of consumer acceptance and just good information and setting the right expectations. I think one of the pieces of advice that I would give anyone in this industry is to approach natural swimming pools and ponds with the understanding that this is a subset of projects that are not intended to replace chemically treated pools. They'll be around for as long as chemicals treat water. However, the importance of our message is it just resonates on the facts that this is a viable option, and it's been proven in nature over time. And as James said, I'm not sure that there's any advice we can offer other than our support. We do routinely get a lot of inquiries from Latin America, and I route them through the
through an international search on BioNova. However, I definitely want to share some contact information so that any leads that come in that we can't respond to would be perfectly appropriate to forward on to you. I am intrigued by the design and the creativity that you've shown in your projects, and it's very encouraging. Y'all are doing a wonderful job, and I appreciate your efforts.
Yes, some remarks. As far as I know from the big franchises, in the moment there's nobody present in Latin America. The only situation I saw once, but I checked and I think it's not longer the case, there was in the Caribbean a representative for Biotope from Austria, but I checked it today and he is not longer a member of this group. So this is the only I saw. This is one. And the other mark is I want to give the idea, check, but be careful, check the aquarium plant market. Be careful because there are some criminals in. So try to be careful and see, because a lot of aquarium plants come from South America, and try to find out whether there is somebody which you can trust in and can work together with you, because the output of water plants from South America is as well notable like the one from Asia. There's a big market, and maybe one day one can find someone producing water plants in Asia, or in your case in Latin America, and will not be in this big connection to America, to the US, and to Europe and Japan. So maybe this is a way to explore, to find someone who is producing water plants. I have seen that Rainer wants to say something as well.
Yeah, hello. I want to speak about this South American market. We get a lot of leads from South America, and they have been made from our Spanish partner because of the language problem. That's the first thing to say. And the second thing about the water plants, this is the goal of all over the world, beside North America and Europe, that water plants is not so available. Yeah, I know a lot of water plant suppliers in the meanwhile in Asia that they can deliver things. They made the plant, the nursery of the plants, and this means it needs 2-3 years to get it, but then it's also possible to get it. This I wanted to add to these things. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Rainer. Stefan.
Yeah, I wanted to tell Jairo and the others. On the 27th of November, we have the annual general meeting of the IOB, and I think it would be very nice to have the letter of request to be affiliated by them, because then we can decide for you.
Okay, I compromise to do our best effort to have everything ready for that date. And I just wanted to comment on that. I just wanted to comment that it's extremely dangerous to use the plants that the market for aquariums, what they have now. They do have some things from Asia and Africa, etc. And what the plants that they have from our territories, most of them, they have a very invasive behavior. So one of the cases I know of people trying to do natural pools in Colombia, at least, all of the plants he was using, he bought them from an aquarium provider, and all of them were invasive plants. So after we talked to him and we explained all the how cautious you have to use when using the plants, he understood, and it's been very difficult for him to eradicate the invasive plant that he has already been using. So that's a very complicated subject that needs a lot of research, and hopefully develop a supplier for a specific plants for a specific region.
Yes, two other things. I think we can repeat as well for the Latin American group, please use nature-based solution in your promotion in Spanish. Nature-based solution is very important as a nature-based solution. Jairo, you have participating in this group in the last month, and you know that we want to stress this aspect of nature-based solution. It will be very important worldwide. And the second thing is, as the Iberian group is organizing the next international congress in October next year here in Portugal, I'm sure that there will be no conflict with IOB board, that we will suggest that someone of your Latin group will present your group and maybe examples of what you're doing and what has been done in natural swimming pools in Latin America, because when you come together to this world convention, I think it would be good to have a place that someone of you can present something.
Yeah, absolutely. I will transfer this to the rest of the group, this invitation. It's wonderful. Thank you. And related to the first comment, that's another big effort we're doing to make people in the group understand that it's a nature-based solution, that we should not use disinfection with UVs or copper or any kind of things. And unfortunately, there's a massive use of disinfection techniques and other water treatment techniques that, unfortunately, the water treatment market is flooded, metaphorically and literally speaking, with wastewater treatment technologies. So that's what they are offering us. And that is very much based on chemicals and filtering materials and disinfection processes. So it's very hard to run away from that and focus more on the biology of the biological food. So that's another big challenge.